Nope.
There we go. That's the one.
Hey guys, welcome to Overcrest. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jake.
And Jake, there's something that got me really fired up over the weekend.
Oh no.
Did you see the new Porsche?
Now what?
The new Macan.
I did.
What did you think?
It's hideous. It is more blob than the Macan was before. It's very like square looking.
I think I think it looks better than your Macan. I think it's a much better design.
Yeah, oh my God, no. I think it's absolutely hideous. I'm super happy with the one I have compared to the new Macan EV. And this is the
This is
going to be the only Macan now. It's EV.
I do like the headlights on this much better than yours. Yours kind of have like that. What's that thing where everywhere you look, it's just eyeballs and you get freaked out? What's that phobia?
I know what you're talking about.
It's like eyeball phobia.
Oh, God, what is that?
Tryptophobia or something like that.
Something like that, yeah. It's like holes and eyeballs.
It's like the phobia where you see all the holes. That's what all these new headlights look with all their little projectors in them and stuff. I think this looks really clean. It's actually a pretty clean design. I'll share my screen. Maybe.
Yeah, do that so we can look at it. The headlights are just slits, basically. Like a series of slits.
Well, they're not slits. They just look like the Taycan. It's like a Taycan headlight. This is the new design language right here. You're looking at it. This headlight, and Porsche's well-known for their headlight designs. This is it. This is the new design language. So it's like 80 grand. It makes some miles, does some voltage, and it's pretty fast, charges pretty fast. You know, it's just all the same shit. You know, I feel like people talk about this stuff so much, and they're like, yeah, do you ever, like, talk about a car and goes, yeah, this thing's got, like, a 22-gallon gas tank. I never talk about
good
stuff
point.
Like that.
That's a really good point. I've bought so many cars,
and I think the reason is because people are so absolutely terrified of range anxiety, of course. But,
yeah, it's
nobody buys, like, a Silverado that gets 7 miles per gallon and goes, how big's the gas tank? They don't
do it. I think it's because we're used to EVs being, like, that is one of the biggest compromises is like, the range is terrible. And I'm hoping, things are getting better and battery technology is getting better. Efficiency is getting better. I think it's going to come to a point, hopefully, where like that's not even a consideration. They don't have to advertise the range. It's somewhere down in the fine print, like miles per gallon, right?
Yeah.
I think miles per gallon is not in the fine print, dude.
It is like, whoo, like
you're right.
The window sticker, the biggest words or the biggest numbers are the fuel economy. It's the biggest words on the whole sheet.
Which, is that an EPA mandated thing, you think? Because all of the window stickers are exactly the same. There has to be like some regulation standard for the formula for standard of window stickers.
Just
right?
Like the back of a bag of potato chips. Dude, I looked at a nutrition label the other day for donuts. And I pick up this box of donuts from Quick Trip, which is a great store. Although this is pretty stupid. And I look at it, I'm like, I wonder how many calories are in these donuts, because they're jelly-filled, frosted donuts that are, 6 inches across. I'm like, these things have got to be like 800 calories, right? Like, how many calories is a lot of sugar? I'm trying to just maybe have a little bit less sugar lately. Anyway, so I'm looking at this thing, and I see it from afar. I'm like, 150 calories. That's awesome. Right? This is great.
Yeah.
I walk a little bit closer,
serving.
And I go.
Per serving.
Per serving of three servings. Servings. You're gonna cut this donut in thirds anyway.
Right.
I think that's what it is. There must be like just like the FDA does, like a label and requirements of it. Oh, it has to have this, has to have show this many ingredients, the calories, all these things. It's probably the same thing where you have to show blah 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 for the fuel economy, in my opinion. Anyway. All right. So there's like they did a reveal film of the Macan. Okay. So they always do this, and it's Porsche, so it's always a little bit weird. So one thing I want to say is Porsche's always been a little bit weird with their marketing, okay?
They've always been kind of trendy.
Yeah, they've always been kind of trendy. They've always had, like, Porsche design. And they always have, like, weird sunglasses and watches and skis that you can go down on one ski. They've always had, like, weird – and, like, jackets, like, puffy jackets. They've always been kind of, like, on the edge of fashion, okay?
Yeah, that's like fashion product and that's their design. But like you're talking the actual car releases have always been.
Yeah, it's
out
always
there.
Yeah, it's well, for okay. In the context of the period of when it was released in. OK, so you got to take that into context. Right. So okay. I'm going to show you the reveal and I want you to it's going to be tough to ignore, but I want you to try and ignore all the fashion bullshit that's in this ad. Okay. Cause it's like, it's dripping with it. It's absolutely. And okay. we can comment on it if you want. There's two themes here, or there's one main theme here. And then there's one really big, what the hell was that? And we'll see if you catch the, what the hell was that as you watch this. All right. So everybody that's watching, if you're listening, you might be able to figure out what the hell is that as we go, which wasn't, hopefully that wasn't too much of like a tip off. Do you have sound, Jake?
Yeah.
That's it. So that is the new Macan, the new lavender colored.
Oh, it's lavender. Macan. Yes.
It looks like it. I don't know. I'm making that shit up. I have no idea. You know, it's got a range of look, hold on. I'm going to bring this up one more time so you can see these numbers. I'm going to see if you know what any of them are, and then we'll get into what I'm complaining about on this commercial.
Okay.
It's got a combined 21.7 to 17.9 WLTP. Do you know what WLPT is?
No,
I don't either. Electric range is 516 to 613 WLPT.
Is okay. That must be like the standard of testing, because this is in lieu of the miles per gallon. This is basically the efficiency rating.
Right.
So WLTP is some type of measurement.
Worldwide Harmonized Light Vehicle Test Procedure.
Sure. Yeah. So they're telling what tests they use to get those numbers.
WLTP,
which is basically
for
the efficiency.
Okay. The worldwide harmonized blah puts cars through a greater range of driving conditions than the outdated blah 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 that it.
So
it
again, this is the mile per gallon.
600 mile range is what it's saying.
Okay, that's better than any
gas
car.
And it charges in 20 minutes, whatever. Okay, so this is like, who cares? Great range. Maybe we can get over that at some point. But
okay,
I'm trying to figure out if this commercial is trying to snag people that are scared that they can't maintain their identity, or are chasing an audience that thinks they are losing theirs. Because every single thing, all the taglines that you see, I'm going to read them to you because there's a lot of people that didn't see it.
Okay.
And they were listening. Change your path, not your adventure. Change your look, but not your style. Change your spark, but not your fire. Change your playground, not your drive. Change your mind, place, format, way, path, moves, look. Change everything, but never who you are. And then keep your essence. And then it shows like a Targa turning into a Macan. And previously to that, there's people roiling all over the floor around this Targa, which I don't know. Symbolism, you're losing me there. I don't really understand what that was about. And then the Macan drives away, right? This commercial, in a nutshell, tells you everything Porsche is scared of.
Right. You've always said.
They are so scared that their heritage isn't going to matter anymore. They are so scared that you are not going to be able to draw a line from that Targa to that Macan that they have to show it happening on the screen. They have to literally show a Targa shape-shifting into a Macan just in case you forgot who Porsche was
who we
because
were.
They right. haven't been doing a good job of any of it in the last couple of years, other than some of the 911 and some of the motorsport stuff. So
well,
if you're a regular
and
person.
Like you, yeah, like you've always said, and you've said this over and over again, and I think it is absolutely true. If you ever want to see what a brand is basically afraid of or what is their biggest risk
Watch
factor at the moment, look at what they are literally saying in their advertising, because whatever they are saying, they are scared of that. So
they're basically
this whole
saying
thing
change
about, like,
everything
change,
about yourself. You can change
but,
everything
but don't
and still
change
be
your
yourself.
Identity. Yeah. You don't worry. Yeah, we're doing electric now. We can't do what we were doing, but we're still us, right? We're still
but
Porsche.
We're still us.
So it is just, very telling. It's very interesting.
You know, I understand that the DNA of Porsche has always been to be on the cutting edge of technology, right? They've always done like really wild shit. All their engines are pretty out there. The 911 is pretty crazy, you know, continues to evolve somehow year after year after year after year. But they're scared, man. They are running yeah. scared. Their heritage in a few years doesn't matter. Everything that they've built their company on over the last 60 years doesn't matter anymore. Gone. Irrelevant. Dustbin of history. All of it. So they're trying to draw that line with whatever ink they think colors well. To get from that Targa to that Macan. What do you got there?
Okay.
What are you showing me?
I'm still offended by the fact that you think this looks better than mine. So this is my generation Macan.
That's a
right?
Cayenne, isn't it?
Nope, this is a Macan. This okay. is the same generation.
Yeah, I don't like the
this is a turbo.
It looks exactly the same other than the headlights.
No, it doesn't. Look how like flat and high up this belt line is now versus this, which is more like sleek and
Go
rounded
back
and
yeah.
And it's more See,
it's
like,
a, it's
this seems
good,
more aerodynamic.
It's a good evolution. I mean, it still looks like a Macan. I mean, if you
it
showed
does.
Me that
yeah,
and go,
you,
hey,
you
what
knew
model
this
of
was
vehicle is
a Macan. But to me, this still looks much, much better than this. This looks too... You always talked about the 90s boats looking like sneakers or Air Jordans, where yeah. they're just kind of like very blob-like and, you know...
I really don't like the plastic strakes
this
on
looks
the side.
More blobby than mine. See, well, that's a
I
that is an evolution because
one.
It has this is very cool. I think this is Miami. They always had this kind of like detail where it's like the plastic side thing, but they like did it weird. It, yeah. Anyways, all right. that's all
well,
I wanted to say.
Oh, also Porsche won at Le Mans. Or not Le Mans, Daytona. 24 hours of Daytona. They won.
That's awesome.
Congratulations, Porsche. You made this stupid commercial and then won at Daytona. I just don't like how are these like
well
we
and
doing?
It's you're right because if they're trying to tie in their heritage or like their motorsport accomplishments, why don't they do that more, right?
Because that Macan is the only thing that allows them to still do motorsports.
Sure, well then talk about like how performance is baked into the brand.
Okay.
And like
I have
how
a bold
this is
statement.
Sportier
bold
right,
statement
what?
Here
no one cares
motorsports is boring. It's
yeah.
absolutely boring.
Well,
I've been to events in person. I've watched it on TV. It is boring. It's a terrible spectator sport because you don't get right. to see anything that happens. It's not like watching a basketball game where you can watch the whole thing. It's all happening right there. You can see the pick and roll and the steal and the slam dunk all happen right there. This is like, well, I guess that guy must have passed some maybe on turn 17 on the other side of the track.
Which
he must have passed
yeah,
him there.
You can't see.
Because now he's
endurance
out here, no idea what's doing. As I'm sitting there with like a tiny little transistor radio pressed up against my ear probably so I can hear the cars. I mean, or well, I suppose I could probably hear it now that everything's electric. But motorsports
no, so
is boring.
Yes.
And they
watching
know
it as
and
a spectator sport. It
what
is. You, but. I
what
still
percentage
think it's very
of Macan
exciting
have
to tie that together. Yeah,
what
no
percentage
one.
Of motorsports
none
is
no
watched
one.
By people?
But
zero.
From a marketing perspective, wouldn't you be like show all of the like highlights of like poof, coming into the pit and like the driver and the drama and winning and the checkered flag, and then you shift over to the new Macan and be like, you know, performance is built in or the heritage of performance.
Honda has tried this. They did a commercial like this where they showed like the Formula One car and like the rally car and all this other stuff and these and they did it. And I don't know.
People just
it's fine.
People don't care.
Yeah. And then you end up with what? A Civic?
Right. like, well, like, and it's the same thing here. Like a Macan is very far removed from like a Daytona prototype.
Yeah.
So
well,
it's really hard to
now
make
that.
That
the prototype has EV tech. Maybe there's things are not as far removed as we think.
I know.
Yeah, maybe. I would like to know how much tech that's in that. Was it the 963 prototype?
Yes. I think. Yep.
That's I would like to know how much tech has trickled in. I would like to know that.
Maybe what is similar?
We should have.
Is it on the same voltage? Like, who knows? Yeah, that'd be really interesting.
I'm sure it's not. I wonder how they charge that stuff. Well, they're hybrids, right? I believe they're hybrids.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Well, that's going to be the big difference. All right. What have you got for us before we get into a little bit of news?
Yeah, let's take a minute to talk about Petrolbox. They're a monthly service made specifically for the automotive enthusiasts. Each month, they carefully select items, including tools, detailing supplies, apparel, garage gear, stickers, publications, all of it to be sent right there to your doorstep. It's a curated selection of the latest and greatest gear in the industry. Got some awesome detailer this month for myself. Got some really cool pins and the stickers. Oh, what was it this year? Oh, this month it was something really cool, and I forget what it was. It was the sticker. It's somewhere right over there. I'll have to find it. But there was
A blue M Coupe pin in there.
That's what I'm thinking of. I was like, oh, need to get that to Alex.
Yeah, I think it was great.
For sure. Yeah, there's two different levels of subscription to choose from. Petrobox Basic costs less than $20 a month, and the Petrobox Premium gets you even more gear for $39.95 a month. Check them out at mypetrolbox.com. Use code Overcrest. That'll get you a discount when you check out as well. It is really cool to have that every month come, and you, at least myself, I almost forget about it, and I don't realize it's coming. And so it's like, oh, I love it. I get to open a gift, and it's a surprise every month. Great.
All right. News. Jake, that's you. See that little J in front of the text?
I do. I'm going to read this to you, Chris. Jeremy Clarkson has revealed why it's the end of the road for the Grand Tour. So we knew this. We talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but now he's kind of discussing why. Like, why are we done?
Exactly. Okay, this is interesting. So Clarkson said he and co-host James May and Richard Hammond decided to quit the Amazon Prime Video show after running out of steam. In an interview with the Times of London, Clarkson said it was becoming increasingly difficult to conjure up outlandish adventures for the show and that the presenters were all showing their age. Clarkson, who is now 63, said, quote,
Hold on. 63? That dude looks like he's 107. I mean, like he's been smoking his whole life, drinking, full of stress and vim and vigor and carbonation.
And vigor is like a positive. I don't think you'd use that there.
That's a positive too. But I mean, he's just been going
hard. Haggard.
Yeah, he got put away for sure many times.
Agreed. Yeah. So Clarkson, 63, said, quote, I've driven cars higher than anyone else and further north than anyone else. We've done everything you can do with a car. We've had meetings about what to do next. People just threw their arms in the air. He added that the Grand Tour missions are immensely physical and had become increasingly difficult when, quote, you're unfit and fat and old. If you bear grills and go to a hotel, there aren't any hotels in the Sahara Desert, Clarkson said.
What a bummer when I found out that Bear Grylls wasn't like actually drinking his own pee living under a tree. What a bummer.
Yeah, that was actually the case?
He would go stay at a hotel. Like he'd do all this stuff and then go to a hotel. Like I felt betrayed.
Yeah, that is. So he's saying they have it harder than Bear Grylls does even.
Yeah.
Because if you're Bear Grylls, you can go to a hotel. But if you're in the middle of the Sahara, where they do their adventures, it's the real deal. Asked if he feels under pressure to be controversial, Clarkson said, quote, no, I like being controversial. Some people who see a still pond find that peace, but I cannot resist throwing a stone in it.
No, he can't. So I look forward to his controversial hot takes. I know some people don't like them.
Do we know what is next for them? Like, I know.
Well, he's going to do the farm. He's going to do the farm.
Is he back for the farm?
He's back
I thought
for the
there
farm.
Was something about the farm got canceled on Amazon.
Yeah, because
again.
He made fun of the princess.
Right.
You can't make fun of the princess. He made fun of the princess and then everybody was up in arms, you know.
Okay.
Whatever.
And they were like, we're not renewing.
Yeah, but they did. Because it's
they did.
Good. It's too popular.
Okay, so
popular.
It's going to be back on Amazon Prime for season 3.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right. The Tycon.
That was entertaining.
Tycon.
It is a bow tie convention, Chris. The Tycon.
The Tycon destroy. Boy, it's like, it's almost like two words. The tie, like it's named tie. And then every time
you say this is how
like,
Porsche
it
told us to remember is like a, you know, like Comic-Con. This is Tycon. Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a much more uninteresting event. There's nothing that would be like people watching at a Comic-Con. All right. The Taycan destroys the Tesla Model Plaid. Destroys.
I heard this.
Yeah. Porsche has a new ultra high performance Taycan on the way and has just set a record around the Nürburgring. The Stuttgart automaker hasn't even confirmed that the car, what it is, or detailed any of its performance metrics. It has just told us the time. It kind of seems like weird, right?
That
yeah,
is.
Mike yeah, Mike Tyson like, got look, knocked out by what's his face over here. Who is he? Can't tell you. What's his
doesn't
stats?
Matter. But look.
What's his reach?
But look.
Pretty good. A pre-series like, Taycan lapped the ring in just 7 minutes, 7 seconds, 0.55. Can you look up a couple records? So we have some metric for that one.
Like, yeah, I just know that like under eight is like super fast just from when I played fast. Gran Turismo, right? Like, I just remember like, oh, that's fast.
That's
so
fast.
Yeah, let's look up.
Nothing was tougher than doing endurance racing on the Nürburgring on Forza, because if you touch the grass, your lap time didn't count. It was over. It's always a problem. All right, a pre-series Taycan lapped the ring and blah, blah, blah. This makes it the fastest electric Porsche to ever turn a wheel around the legendary track. It buried the Tesla Model S Plaid's previous record, holding 7 minutes and 25 seconds by 17.68 seconds, which is massive. Although it is a 13-mile track, so it's...
So, all right, here's
not
some
like
context.
He beat up to like 17 seconds at Laguna Seca. That would be insane.
Right.
This is a big track.
The newest 911 GT3 RS did it in 6:44, which is nuts.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Wow. A GT3. Wait, what is the difference between these two GT3 RSs?
I don't know.
We got one time at
Porsche
6:54, one at 6:44.
Okay. So, like, that gives me a metric. That's good. What about like anything else that's not Porsche? What else have we got there?
Right. I'm looking at, honestly, it's a lot of Porsche on this list, which is interesting. The Lamborghini Huracan Performante did it in 7:07. So that ties with it. Like a McLaren 720S did it in 7:08. The Viper ACR, the 2010 model, did it in 7:12. So it's faster than that. Like a, M4 CSL did it in 7:13. Like this is
so this thing is
this
still
is
fast.
Real fast.
It's
very
fast.
Fast.
The new Top Dog Taycan's time is 26 seconds faster than the current Taycan Turbo S and within spitting distance of the Rimac Nevera's time of 7:05.
I saw
that. Porsche did receive minor modifications to make it safer and more trackable. Racing bucket seats and a roll cage were installed. If that's all they had to do, sometimes these guys, I think remember with the Model Plaid, like it was all tinted out and you couldn't really see.
Yeah, you don't even know
on.
What was in there. Like what
really
suspension
know.
Did it have? Did it have extra
you roll the
battery
window down
packs?
And there's like no interior whatsoever. There's like the guy sitting on a
stripped
milk crate.
Out. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
There's no radio. The guy just has like a Walkman with a tape in it, listening to whatever going around the Nürburgring. Probably some German like techno.
Well, yeah,
band.
It's like the Stig. Remember how they would always overlay what he was listening to in the car?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's exactly like that.
According to Porsche, a video of the drive will be released in mid-March. That will likely coincide with more information about the car itself, as well as a mid-cycle refresh for the entire range. Yeah, well, it's supposed to have a tri-motor drivetrain and 1,000 horsepower is rumored.
Wow.
Okay. Whatever. That's a lot of horsepower. What does a GT3 RS have for power?
They're up to like 500 even.
Okay. So it's 518 horsepower. So with half the horsepower, it's getting smoked by a GT3. Weight is king. That's all I can say.
Oh, absolutely. Right,
take the next one. Let's go.
Well, speaking of weight and amazing cars, Chris, Mazda just revealed its 2023 sales numbers, and the MX-5, aka the Miata, is absolutely off the charts with a solid 45.5% increase in year-over-year sales.
Jesus.
People bought 50% more Miatas
more
in
Miatas?
23.
Holy
that many more Miatas.
Where's that market share coming from, do you think? Like, where?
Do,
what people
I do
what are
wonder,
they buying?
I do wonder if people just like weren't buying cars, especially like little sports cars. Like, because this is an entry-level, cheaper sports car, right? Like, this is not an everyday, daily driver. This is someone who, I don't know, middle class, wants a sports car. They buy a Miata. And so, I don't know, were people just not
think,
buying?
What do you
and
think
now,
an MX-5 Miata starts out at, price-wise?
They start at 30, 28,
28 grand. 28 yeah. grand, you can get a Miata. That's, yeah. I mean, you're
and a they're dork. Really nice cars. They are, yeah, and they're like the engineering that went into them. Did you know that the ND chassis that is the current one is lighter than like the previous one or two before it? Like it's much, much lighter. It's really, really cool. In total.
Tell me more, Jake, about the technical capabilities of a Miata.
In total, Mazda moved 8,973 Miatas in the US.
You're a dork.
I like them. Breaking it down, the MX-5 Roadster takes the lead with 4,500 units sold, showing an impressive 77% surge from 2022. The Hardtop RF, which is, I think, very cool, but a little heavier, isn't far behind with 4,382 homes, making it a 50-50 split between the Roadster and the Hardtop. Notably, last year, the RF outsold the Roadster by 1,000 units. More people are buying that, which has the cool, like, mechanical, you know, fold down. It's automatic hardtop. You're yep. deleting the rest of the notes. You're literally deleting the notes because you do not care. I love Chris. There's a reason they say Miata is always the answer. You want a cheap, fun sports car, Miata.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And it's still the case. It's still, still the case.
All right. Mercedes-Benz is making a bold move into classic cars with the launch of Mercedes-Benz Heritage GmbH, a new subsidiary led by Marcus Breitschwert. This venture celebrates the brand's rich automotive history while aiming for profitability in the vintage vehicle market. No longer confined dusty garages, this fully fledged business. Why does everything have to be a barn find if it's old? Why is everything a dusty garages?
I think it's because if people, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that's the like common, if you're not into old cars or if you're not into vintage automobiles, you just think everything is old and dusty and not.
All right. Well, this department basically reports to Mercedes-Benz leadership, and they keep two examples of every Mercedes model ever made. One is meticulously restored, ready to hit the road, while the other remains in its original state for reference. That is incredible.
That's incredible. Really cool.
They keep two of everything, like a driver and one off the showroom floor.
Yep, that I do like that a lot.
So is this like, go ahead.
I was going to ask. So what is the news? What is the like headline here? Is this like Porsche Classic, but it's Mercedes? Like you can buy.
Yeah. So Mercedes-Benz Heritage has been around for a long time.
Okay.
But they're going to start selling classic cars. Kind of like Porsche Classic does restoring of cars and stuff like that.
But there's more now.
The restoration operation is expanding, moving beyond the Heritage fleet to include a wider range of classic Benzes. There have been signs that Mercedes-Benz, like other manufacturers, are backing away from earlier commitments. I accidentally did delete another paragraph. Basically, they're going to be doing EV conversions too, it sounds like, which was one of the paragraphs I deleted.
And I'm very interested from a major manufacturer like this, what regulations are in place then? Because, like, obviously, if you bring a new car to market, you have to do all the crash standards, and that's why there's so many
regulations
around it. But it's not a new car,
they're retrofitting classic cars, Jake. Just like Singer.
Right.
Singer's a dealer or a manufacturer, basically-ish. Mm.
Yeah. I guess I don't, you don't have know to the do distinction, you don't have to recrash I'm curious it. About that.
Yeah, you don't have to recrash it.
You don't have to recrash.
They're also going to be revealing packages such as 186 mile per hour thrill ride. It's going to be in the works.
What does that mean?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
What does that mean?
Is it 186 literally, miles an hour in a Mercedes?
They're going to have a roller coaster at this factory or what? Like,
yeah, I don't know. This paragraph, though, is really interesting. It's one of the reasons why I want to talk about this, because it's like,
okay,
see if you can pick it out. Though there have been signs that Mercedes-Benz, like other automakers, are backing away from earlier commitments to be selling nothing but EVs by 2030, quote, we will make our internal combustion drivetrains ready to go into the 2030s, and then we will see what the market dynamics look like. Chairman and CEO Ola something told us earlier this year. Brett Schwartz says the transition to EVs is inevitable. We must go electric because that's what society requests, and we must be a leader. But to make sure we are profitable, we must reposition Mercedes brand as pure luxury. So these are two people saying almost two different things, right? Doesn't it seem a little
okay? So
weird?
We're gonna make our internal combustion drivetrain. Basically, we're not shelving it. We're going to make sure it's still available throughout 2030.
Just
and then
in case,
we'll see.
Basically.
Right.
Just in case. This is, oh my God, the entire EV vibe is feeling real shitty right now.
Right.
So we're going to go ahead and like keep the castings around.
So, yes. And then, but this other quote is, we must go electric because that's what society requests, which is not necessarily true. It's what regulation dictates. How about that?
Let's go with that. I mean, society does not. It's pretty clear that while society wants the environment to be better and they want us to be responsible and they want us to take care of the earth, they don't really like the way that this is going and how fast it's going. So I don't know where she's getting that from.
There's two things. I think I'm taking away different points than you on this. For one, the very last line says, to make sure we're profitable, we must reposition Mercedes as pure luxury. Meaning, right now, you would call it a performance luxury brand, Mercedes. That's what it is. They're saying, we're not going to do any performance. That's how I'm reading into that. That last quote is, we're going to be luxury only, and we're not going to focus on performance. That's interesting.
Mercedes, their tagline has been the best or nothing forever. I don't really know that they're a sports luxury brand.
They have AMG. Like, this is basically telling me AMG, they're just going to kill AMG. Luxury only. Pure luxury, not performance.
I don't know.
Basically what that quote told me.
Power is still luxurious. If you look at like Rolls Royces and Bentleys, they still make just asinine amounts of power. But in terms of a sports car, like an AMG Black, or something like that, maybe not. But this is something like, this sports car Mercedes has been around less than Mercedes has in its entire history. If you look through like the 60s into like 1990, the only real sports car they ever made, ever, and this is going to get me in trouble because some people won't agree with me, but the only sports car they ever made was the 190E 16 valve Cosworth and the 190E Evo 2 that went to race at DTM.
What about the 300 Gullwing?
Grand Touring.
What is that?
I think it's like a Grand Touring car.
What about maybe McLaren SLR?
That's not a sports car. That's like a supercar. That's like a...
Okay.
Sports cars have to be available with a manual transmission, in my opinion. If it doesn't come with a manual, it's not a sports car.
A lot of manufacturers would disagree with that, by the way.
Okay, like who? Like what? Give me a couple of models.
GT3. The 991 GT3. Sports car? Nope. Only came with PDK for 991 gen. That wasn't a sports car.
Yeah, but
GT3 is always a sports car, except for that one.
991.2 did have a manual, did it not?
Right. But do you see what you're saying?
GT3s
aren't. But it wasn't available with a manual. Therefore, was not a sports car for an entire generation.
An entire generation? More like 6 months.
It was 4 years.
You're also saying that we could get into this argument about the 911 and all its variations. The 911 has always come with a manual. And if you're going to pick one shade of the car and be like, well, that one only was like,
okay,
that's like the saying that Toyota, the new Toyota Supra,
the new GTR, the new Toyota Supra was not released with a manual.
No, but it has a manual.
They developed
the manual because no one was buying it because it wasn't a sports car.
So it wasn't a sports car until this year.
Yes, I would think so. Plus, the sales of that thing got real bad real
fast. That's such a ridiculous distinction.
I don't care.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I also agree that, like, what about Ferraris? Are Ferraris sports cars?
Not if they don't have... Maybe I should rephrase it this way. I do not like sports cars that do not have manuals.
I agree with, but you can't use it as an actual defining feature.
It should be the defining feature in my world. In my world, it's a defining feature. If I'm writing the descriptions of the vehicles, if it doesn't say manual transmission, in my world, it would not be a sports car. It would be an EPA regulation that if you were going to sell a sports car designated by Chris says that looks like a sports car.
Can a front wheel drive car be for a sports car?
A front wheel drive car be a sports car?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of any that are like a Mitsubishi Starion. Are those rear wheel? Those are rear wheel drive.
I believe they were because it was the DSM.
Dodge Daytona. What is a front wheel drive sports car?
I can think of one that came to mind right away that definitely fits is the Lotus Elan from the 90s, which was based on the Isuzu chassis, but I would definitely call that a sports car because it's Lotus.
It seems like a lot. Just because it's a Lotus does not mean it's a sports car. I'm thinking of every car that I think of is like a hot hatch. Like every car, and I don't think hot hatches are sports cars. I think they're a hot hatch. I think it's a different class of vehicle. I agree. It's the same.
The Lotus Elan, the 90s one, not the original Lotus Elan, which was, of course, rear wheel drive.
Yeah.
But that, I think, is like one of, I'm sure there's more, but that one came to mind.
I think we need to, I'll run for president, and then I will stipulate.
You know what?
It'll be just like the chicken tax, but.
I was going to say, you would actually be the best option right now.
I agree. I 100% agree. We would have a sports car law. I'd use my executive power. And then every car,
you know what?
I label as a sports car. We would use tax dollars to retrofit cars that I want to be manuals and sports car.
And we would retrofit them. This is your whole platform. This is it.
Make sports cars great again. Yeah. That's my campaign.
Yes. Be like,
all right, tell me about CSF.
I don't agree with his politics. I don't even know what he stands for, but he's not senile and he wants to make sports cars great. Okay, getting my vote.
Let's go. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Sports cars and a little bit of individual liberty sprinkled in. We're good.
Sure. Why not? All right. CSF Cooling. Let's talk about them. They have always been at the forefront of quality products for a fair price with a rich history stretching over seven decades. They provide the best high performance and OEM plus cooling systems on the market today. CSF offers over 3,000 different cooling applications for the most popular makes and models on the road, from classic copper brass radiators for Land Cruisers, Jeeps, Datsuns, all the way to your vintage Mercedes, BMW, Audi, and Porsche platforms. Of course, then on up to all our new modern vehicles that you can get OEM replacements for. Check out their expanding classic series lineup to see what they have. Also, be sure to check them out and all their offerings on csfrace.com or, of course, on social media to see what they are up to. All right, Chris.
All right.
Speaking of manual transmissions, BMW is telling us they will still offer the manual gearbox as an option for the new M2 Coupe, the M3 Saloon, and the M4 Coupe for now, which
for
means
now, until they're not allowed that, to anymore.
Well, until they don't have an electric or until they don't have a gasoline engine, if that's the case. So that means in 2024 and for the next few years, at least in this gen, it's possible to buy a powerful rear drive performance car with an actual stick shift, which is, of course, good news. The confirmation comes off the back of BMW's M's best ever sales year in 2023, in which the electric i4 M50 was once again its biggest selling model.
Dude, I don't even know what that is. What is that? An electric?
Is it even for sale here?
i4 M50. All right, let's pull this thing up.
It's like a weird SUV thing. I can picture it. Yeah.
No,
yep.
No. Oh my God. It's hideous. Don't look. It's basically it's i4.
So it's like a 4 series, electric?
They sold more of these than they did like an actual M4?
Yeah,
you've
the
i4
is its biggest selling model. So what is it? All electric with the engineering of BMW M.
There's no way. So this is a misprint. There's no way this is true.
Nope, definitely not. Okay.
It can't be true.
The M2, M3, and M4 also performed well. And when they asked TopGear.com about the percentage of those cars sold with a manual gearbox, BMW said it was between 15-20%. That is sad, Chris.
Oh my God.
You're buying
it really
an
is.
M3.
It really is the best selling car.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never seen one of these. That's
wild. Hate to say it, but we're out of touch. I think we're kind of out of touch.
We used to be more in touch when we did news every week, which we're doing again. So we're going to be a little bit more in touch. But I've never seen this thing. Never. What am I?
Honestly, we probably have, but we were just like, oh yeah, that's an M4 or whatever, or M3.
Well, I mean, that's progress.
They should be called M3.
Every electric car doesn't look like it's a spaceship about to blast off to Mars with
Elon
Musk's file cabinet in the trunk.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. With all that being said, though, there's not long left for the manual gearbox. As reported last year, BMW M's future is, of course, automatic. Either the twin clutch gearbox or manual will last as long as this generation. After that, BMW revert to torque converters up until electric cars.
single speed electric cars take over. We should call them mono speed.
Did you want to know about?
Go ahead.
Before we do, okay, so we like, of course, we always go back to, yes, everything's going to be electric. And I'm curious about this because even Mercedes in that previous article was saying, you know, we're backing away from earlier commitments, saying we're going to sell nothing but electric, as with many other manufacturers. So what has caused this? We know that they're not selling the electric cars that are coming out right now. They're sitting on the lot, right?
Yep.
But are they basically hedging their bets and saying, you know what? Regulations aren't going to hold up because
I don't know, man.
The law will say either you can't sell them or you know what I mean?
Like I've said before, I don't know. It's going to be
what is happening.
It's going to be consumer versus lobbyist is what it's going to come down to. Because like Ford is lobbying now. They've spent all the money spending all the money. Okay, so they're spending all the money to make this transition happen because this is what the regulations are. So we're spending the money.
They put all their eggs in that basket.
All the eggs are in the basket. They're in the basket. Right. Little Bo Peep's running down the street with the eggs, right? The consumer is about to run over Little Bo Peep with the eggs.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's pretty clear to me that consumers do not care about Little Bo Peep or the eggs or all the EV.
Yes.
They don't care. They don't care. They don't want it.
Yes.
Let me rephrase this because I don't want to sound like super partisan. They do want it, but they don't want to be forced to do it. They don't want to be forced to be. They don't want to feel like an early adopter.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
They want the technology to cam in properly. Like just kind of roll in. You know, it's
cam it's in. Just, are you using that as like in. A
yeah
cam in?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a cam phrase. In. I don't.
Yeah, okay. It is now. You know, right now the lift is too high. The camshaft lift is too high and too aggressive. The lobe is too sharp.
You're still not using it right because even with cam phases, you know, there's a different phase in the camshaft if you have a variable lift and duration. Which that is the term you should have used there is phasing
variable. I've never owned any variable anything before. This thing is now. I guess it's got Vanos.
And
I'm just saying it's happening too fast. People don't like it. It's too soon. They can't adapt their lifestyle. They feel like they're going to have to adapt their lifestyle. The only people that can afford these things are in their 30s and up, and they don't want it. They don't want it. It's too fast. It's happening too fast. So you're going to have this battle between lobbyists and government who've already spent all the money and consumers that don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where it's going to go. I still feel like, I don't know, man.
It is very interesting if they walk it back or they're like, you know what? All right, we're not going to mandate this, especially depending on, you know, politics of the next election cycle. But if they walk it back, what happens to Ford and these other manufacturers that have like put everything in and they're like, well, either we, I guess, go back to the 5.0 and we're just going to sell the same motor for the next decade, or they've already changed over all their plants at that point. You know what I mean? Like manufacturing. They're like, well, I guess we're only offering electric.
Nothing ever goes backward. Government will always trip over itself to solve the problem that it created. It's not going to go back and be like, we made a mistake. It's going to go, okay, shit. What can we do now to like take a left turn instead of a right
turn? It would delay the regulation. It'll be like, okay, not 2035. How about 2045?
My thought is it'll have something to do with hybrids. Or it'll be some weird CAFE standard that, you know, how right now the CAFE, you're like, you have to meet a certain requirement across all of your brands or all of your models of car. You have to meet. There's probably going to be some sort of like, they'll either make that much more strict or they're going to start fudging around with like, you have to sell this many EVs. There'll be something. There'll have to be some sort of compromise or these countries.
I think that's already in the calculation. But I'm still curious, even if that's the case and they're like, it makes it a way to still sell gasoline cars. I don't know what's going to happen with Ford. And I'm thinking of all these other ones that have invested so heavily.
Keep in mind, in the last 3 or 4 years, if you would have told me 3 years ago that the best-selling car, M car, was going to be an i4 M50 toilet machine.
True. If I would have told you like, that 5 minutes ago, you wouldn't have believed it.
I wouldn't have believed it 5 minutes ago. I think it just goes to show that this EV stuff is still a luxury. It's still a luxury item. You know?
Yeah.
All right, so I've got a, hold
on. One more thing, Chris. Do you think we have a unique or antiquated perspective because we are not living in LA and it's a different market in the Midwest? Do you see what I'm saying? Do we sound like the Luddites who have no idea what they're talking about because we're the hillbillies in the Midwest?
Are we hillbillies from the Midwest? I don't know.
Probably.
I don't know if I want to be a hillbilly from the West. All right, let's move on. Jake, did you know the charges have been dropped on a plow guy? Good Samaritan plow guy?
I'm glad we're talking about this.
Okay.
Okay, good. You got all these. Yep.
I got all these. Okay. We're here. We're ready for it, dude.
This really makes me angry. Because
does it grind your gears?
What happened to that segment? We're hillbillies in the Midwest, Jake? Chris.
What happened to the grind my gears segment?
Yeah. Do you like that? I felt like you didn't like that. Where I basically make comments that piss you off and then you get to just go off. We'll bring that back.
Everybody else liked it. Yeah, maybe bring it
back. Okay, we'll bring that one back. So charges against a Pocatello man who was cited for plowing his neighbor's driveway.
That's where I got my Mercedes.
Yes,
it is. The brown Mercedes is from Pocatello.
It was probably the neighbor. According to Pocatello police, Mitch Fisher was pushing snow into the street and was given a $206 ticket in January for depositing dangerous material on the road. Quote, dangerous I was just material. Plowing the street, Fisher tells KPVI. I was pushing it all over to my side so they didn't have to berm in front of their house.
Nothing sucks more. If you're not from the Midwest or from somewhere that gets snow, you don't understand the horror of going out and getting the mail and seeing that the plow truck has gone by and left four feet of solid ice at the end of your driveway. So what this guy is doing is awesome because he's shoveling, he's plowing that out for everybody. This dude's great.
Here's what's interesting about the story, because I did read this last week and we were going to get to it. Because I bought a plow truck, I learned that it is illegal to plow any snow across a public roadway, which seems ridiculous.
So leaving your driveway, pushing it across and dumping it off.
So like you know my house now, and it's another steep hill, I guess. I moved from one big hill to another bigger, much bigger hill. But like it only makes sense for me if I'm plowing down to then keep going across the street and like push it into the snowbank over there. And that is illegal to do. And so that's basically what this is, what's coming down to here.
So what are you going to do?
I've done it once or twice already. Anymore, so. Yeah, exactly. No, you stop short, you lift up the plow, and you still have to go into the street, mind you, to turn around and do a 3-point turn. And then you come back and plow everything that you stopped off to the side. It's just, it's dumb. I get kind of why they do it. They think it's a safety concern. But it's like, look, if you have a plow truck and you're plowing, you know what you're doing. It's not like some, I don't know.
Jake, you do not know what you are doing. You've driven a plow truck all of like 1.65 times. You don't know what you're doing.
I know exactly what I'm doing, Chris. I grew up on tractors. Come on.
It's not the same.
Yeah, it's the same.
No.
Less controls. It's all on a remote. It goes like this. It's so much easier with a plow truck. All right. The city of Pocatello spokesperson Logan McDougall said it poses a safety hazard to the public and also the city and our employees as well. We actually had an incident earlier this winter where a city plow truck hit a pile of snow and ice. and it did ultimately hit a parked car, though. So that's not ideal. How about that car shouldn't have been parked there then if it was on a plow route, right?
Yeah, it was probably a snow day, right? Can't be parked.
Exactly. After a month and a half of fighting the citation, the charges against Fisher were dropped on Monday. Quote, the most I've ever had in my life was a traffic ticket, and I hate to go down with a snow plowing charge. Fisher says in laughter, I don't think you're going
down. How does that show up on a background check? You're going to get an apartment, and the guy's like, yeah, man, sorry. We're going to have to take the chick over here that, you know, doesn't have the snow plowing charge.
I'm pretty sure it's a traffic violation, so I don't think it would show up on any record. The 50-year-old said he was helping his elderly widows in his neighborhood. Okay, apparently there's a bunch of them in this neighborhood. The youngest one is 78. Well, that proves my point, I guess.
Is this on Cougar Drive or what?
I was going to say, and they're widows who just can't do it, Fisher adds. People need to understand that we need to help our neighbors out. I like that. Thankful for the help of his pro bono attorney, Fisher is glad it's over. Quote, I wasn't putting anything in the roadway, and I tried to explain that to him. It didn't work out that way. They all said they're doing their job, so I guess I got to go with that. Although the charges were dismissed, Fisher still had to pay a bond forfeiture of $75. And the city says residents can still help their neighbors plow, but they want to throw the snow on your yard and not the road or sidewalk. Basically, yeah, you can't cross the roadway. So that's the takeaway.
That's like busybody city stuff.
Well, and here's the thing. Yeah, why are they going out and this is what they're ticketing? Right? Like, really? They're going to ticket this guy during a snow?
Not like a bump in place. You know, there's not much to do there. So
I know.
Some guy.
Here's another one that's going to really grind your gears, Chris. Speaking of ticketing silly things. In a chilly twist of events, a local Michigan driver, Taylor Truppiano, found himself facing a $128 fine for the seemingly mundane act of warming up his car in his own driveway. The incident dates back to a freezing winter's day in 2017 when Truppiano left his vehicle running unattended for less than 10 minutes while fetching his girlfriend and her 2-year-old son. I have a 2-year-old. I get this. If it's winter,
Michigan,
of course I'm going to warm up my car.
It's
Everyone
cold.
Is going to do that. Did you know they sell remote starters for this very reason?
They do. Some cars just come with them.
Exactly. To his surprise, upon returning, it is actually, yes. And apparently in Michigan, because he received a ticket on his windshield. Keep in mind, this was private property. This is in his driveway. The citation was for the supposed offense
property taxes
of leaving
and take your house away. It isn't private property. There's no such thing anymore.
Oh, boy. Here we go. See, told you you're a backwoods hillbilly, Chris.
Yeah. Vote for me.
Regardless, the offense of leaving the car running unattended, Truppiano expressed his disbelief, shared the incident on social media, stating, quote, I had no clue it was even a law. The little known law aimed at addressing car thefts was justified by authorities, citing public safety concerns. However, Truppiano contested the fine in court, arguing that it was more about local governments making money than ensuring safety on private property. Again, despite his efforts, Truppiano initially lost the case, with the city attorney emphasizing the public safety goal behind the regulations. Undeterred, Truppiano and his attorney appealed the ruling, good for him, leading to a reversal of the decision. The court record stated, quote, the ruling of the 39th District Court is reversed and defendant's responsibility for the association is vacant. Why do they need to quote that? That told us nothing more than the previous sentence. All right. Anyways, in the end, the local driver triumphed over the unusual fine. Here's the thing. It's not unusual because it's a law on the books. And that, I think, is what the story is here, is that it is illegal to warm up your car on your own private property.
Well, I was surprised it didn't show it was because of emissions or greenhouse gases or something like that.
That is,
I was surprised to see that, so people don't steal anybody else's cars, when realistically, guess what? It's my car. I pay the insurance. I can leave it running wherever the hell I want to. I can leave it running until it runs out of gas. It's mine.
Hillbilly.
I pay for the gas and everything. I'll do as I please.
Just killing the environment. Don't care about others, Chris.
No, that's me. Stupid. Just like, it's my car, it's my insurance. What, like,
I,
if it wants, if
I do 100%
my car gets stolen, it's my own,
that's
problem.
Ridiculous. Yes.
All right, I've got a rare and coveted job opening for you here, Jake.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Jake,
tell me more.
Now, do you have
yes.
a big ass mortgage? Are you craving
I do
a
I have two
opportunity?
I have two, actually.
Okay, does that mean you're craving a unique
100%.
Oscar Mayer's on the lookout for a dozen hot doggers to drive its famous Wienermobile for a year-long adventure. If you're
a year-long adventure, what does that mean?
If you're relishing the idea, you have until January 31st to apply on the Oscar Mayer website. That's in like,
I have 2 days.
Very soon.
That's, I have 2 days, Chris.
Yeah. Chance to be part of the 37th class of hot doggers. The chosen drivers will travel more than 20 states in one of the 6 Wienermobiles, covering an average of 20,000 miles. Along the way, they'll distribute 250,000 wiener whistles.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, I remember, Chris.
Jake, how's your wiener whistle doing? Is it doing pretty good?
What? Why? You don't have to be...
crass? Yes, I do.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say it's not vulgar,
I'll
but
take my wiener whistle and go if you're not careful.
Do you not remember? This is common thing. Wiener whistle. Yeah.
I've never seen a wiener whistle.
They've been giving them out since like the 60s. You go to the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile and they give you a whistle. And it is
a
mini
shaped like a
Oscar Mayer
hot dog?
Yes. It is strange that that's like their marketing thing. Like, why a whistle for a hot dog?
Yeah.
It
why should don't be like just give them a hot dog?
Ketchup packets or something. Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense either. Ketchup packets. Oscar Mayer doesn't make ketchup. They make hot dogs.
Why are they showing the bun, Chris? Why is there a bun on the mobile either, huh? Should just be the hot dog then. By that logic.
Probably for crash standards, it's my guess. You gotta have the bun.
The bun is the crumple zone.
In addition to the joy of driving a 27-foot-long hot dog on wheels, recent hot doggers have taken on diverse responsibilities, from overseeing weddings in Las Vegas to introducing hot dog flavored water. I mean, frozen pops in New York City. The role extends just beyond being behind the wheel.
Ed Rowland,
top dog and senior manager of brand communications for Oscar Mayer.
Of course, that's actually his title.
I screwed up.
Of course it is.
Oscar Mayer's owned by Kraft Heinz. They could have ketchup.
See?
Emphasize the rarity. The rarity and the uniqueness of the hot dogger position. He stated, statistically speaking, more people have visited space than have driven the Wienermobile.
No way.
You can't get a wiener whistle in space.
How many Wienermobiles are there? Is there like only one?
Oh, there's got to be. Didn't they say there's like, I don't know. There's got to be. Oh,
I'm
going to
look this up.
Well, there's six. Yeah, there's six.
There's six of them. Okay.
Yeah.
That's really fun. Okay.
If you're wondering the qualifications to drive the Wienermobile, you must be at least 5'6".
That's not
Jake.
True. Nope,
Jake,
not in
I'm
there.
Sorry. I'm sorry you don't qualify.
I love how you picked the measurement in between us, by the way.
Oscar Mayer is looking for
individuals. Turns out Chris is also very short.
With strong communication skills, social media savvy, and a bachelor's degree, preferably in hot dogging or public relations. Communications, journalism, or marketing. A love for hot dog puns is considered a helpful condiment. Dude, I'm already there.
Oh,
the selected
my God,
hot doggers
no.
can expect a base salary of $35,000 along with additional benefits, including a weekly $150 allowance for meals and personal travel.
I thought they were going to say $150 allowance just for hot dogs.
I mean, 18 days paid time off, full health benefits package that you'll need for consuming nitrates on a daily basis, and coverage of 100% of hotel expenses. Isn't there room to sleep in that thing? It's huge.
Probably. Yeah, I don't know what else is in the Wienermobile. Can we have an episode where we talk about just the Wienermobile and like interview them and figure out what it does?
I just want to know if the Wienermobile could do a burnout if we tried real hard.
I also, like, is there a full grill in the Wienermobile? Can you serve hot dogs out of the Wienermobile?
That's the thing. It should be a food truck, but it's not.
I think it's not. Are you sure? Because I'm not sure.
Well, let's continue this conversation on. Why don't you tell me a little bit about the Drivers Club? And we're going to actually continue this episode with the Drivers Club.
That's
as we
right.
go along here.
So our news episode here for this week is going to come to a close. However, if you are an Overcrest Drivers Club member supporting us for as little as $5 a month, you can hear how this entire episode is going to.
Dude, you're struggling right now. You're super.
I was trying to come up with a pun that was hot dog related.
Oh, you just couldn't figure it out, huh?
No, and then you interrupted my train of thought. Anyways, all our episodes continue after the fact, not all of them, but once a week with news, etc., with the Drivers Club only exclusive content. We also have an entire back catalog of episodes that are only available to Drivers Club members, including history stories, extended interviews, extended project updates, and
everybody gets a wiener
whistle. PG-13 related conversation as well. And
yeah,
Jake,
we're gonna,
just for some reason,
we're
having
continue
a stroke.
This conversation on. We're going to talk about some of our updates on our projects and maybe a little bit more banter. On that note, we will see you guys next week. Hang out if you're a Drivers Club member. There's more.
Yes. Yeah.